When we were in Jerusalem on the archaeological dig, that's my wife and I remember one particular day, one afternoon, a friend of mine and myself, we went exploring. And we explored up to the Mount of Olives. We thought, well, this particular time we'll go ahead and we'll have an explore on the Mount of Olives. And we were going round the Mount of Olives, or actually on its face as it looks towards Jerusalem. And there's a small church on the side of the hill, and it looked rather interesting because it was very, very ornate. It was one of the Eastern Orthodox churches, whether it was Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox or some other Orthodox church or Coptic, I'm not quite sure, but it was very ornate. Then we went inside, a service had just begun, and we stood at the back just watching the proceedings because it's something we hadn't seen before. And the thing that struck us was not just the actual paraphernalia that the priest was dressed in, which was again exceedingly ornate, exceedingly embroidered with gold and all the various jewels on the garments themselves, but also he had a censer in his hand. And as he walked down the centre of the church, he was waving this censer, and the air blowing through the censer sent great clouds of incense into the air. And it's something that we don't really come across. In the High Church of England, I suppose, or the Roman Catholic, you can occasionally get incense. But when the Church of England that I used to attend as a very young child, there was no incense at all. And it's something which was of interest, anyway, actually seeing it on the side of the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. But it is something that is actually found in Scripture. The subject of incense is found in Scripture. And what I want to do today is I want to show not only the importance of incense to us at this juncture in history, but also that the two methods of burning, the two ways in which the incense was burned, has a great deal to say to us. And I say that it has a great deal to say to us today. If you turn with me over to Revelation chapter 8, you'll see what I mean. Because in Revelation chapter 8, the timing of this verse, the beginning of these verses, is very much the pre-trumpet plague. So the tribulation has occurred, the heavenly signs have occurred, and you're now into the last seal that has been opened. It says in verse 1, it says, "And when he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." So it's right at the beginning of the trumpet plagues. "And another angel came," notice, "and stood at the altar, having a golden censer." So like the individual that I saw in the Greek Orthodox Church, he came and he had a censer in his hand. "Having a golden censer, and there was given to him much incense that he should offer it," notice, "with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." So there's two things going on there. There's two ways of offering. One is in the censer itself, as I said, the Greek Orthodox patriarch, or whatever you call this individual, would go forward and wave the censer back and forth, and the clouds of incense would come off. But it also, there's a golden altar as well, which is before the throne, that is also used for incense. And so these are the two areas I want to concentrate on, because it goes on, it says, "The smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints." So there is a link between the prayers and also the incense. And therefore, we at that time, assuming we are still alive at that time when this event occurs, and this could be a matter of just a few years ahead of us now, when this occurs, we will be praying. I can guarantee we will be praying. Because the things that are going on, we had better be praying anyway. And those prayers will be going up to God, and it'll be matching the two methods of the burning of incense, one on the censer and one also on the golden altar. "And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And then the angels took a censer and filled it with fire of the altar." So the altar's fire had the incense on. He then took the fire from the altar and filled the censer with that. "And he cast it into the earth, and there was a voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound." So the actual use of incense, the use of the censer, actually triggers The trumpet plagues, the very trumpet plagues themselves, and we're coming on to the Day of Trumpets. I'm sure we'll find out a little bit more about that as we go into that that time. But let's turn back now to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. I just remind ourselves something, because we were looking at the two sources of incense, one from the censer and one from the altar of incense. And just to refresh our memories, the altar of incense was an altar right before the veil of the temple, before you went into the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. That was right square in the middle of it. Then you had the showbread table on one side, and the menorah, the lights on the other side, as you went in and approached the Holy of Holies. And so that's the altar of incense, just before the Holy of Holies. But here in Hebrews 8, verse 3, it says, "For every high priest ordained to offer gifts, therefore it's necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer." He's talking about Christ now as our high priest. "For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and the shadow of heavenly things." Notice what they're serving. So what we're looking at in the old tabernacle and the temple area, these are serving to the, as it says here, the shadow, the example, and the shadow of heavenly things. The things that are actually going on in heaven. So when we pray and our prayers come before God as incense, it's in a picture. We are given a picture of how that incense actually arrives. And it's via a censer, yes, but it's also via this altar of incense. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, he said, "Look," said, "see," said he, "that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mount." So it was important that the pattern was followed. Why? Because it's actually a pattern of something that's going on in heaven. It's something that is tied to us as the New Testament church. "But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, as how much will he minister of a better covenant," and so on, better promises. Okay, let's turn back therefore to Luke chapter 1 and just find out a little bit more about the prayers of the saints and being like incense. In Luke chapter 1, notice it says, he's talking about Zacharias in verse 5, with the course of Abijah and his wife Elizabeth, and they both didn't have any children. And verse 9 it says, "According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." Now, presumably this would be the morning and evening incense that was offered. But it's interesting that it says here in verse 10, it says, "And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at a specific time," at the time of the incense. So the offering of this incense, whatever it is, if you go back to the Old Testament, as a type of what's going on in the heavenly realm, in the spirit realm, yet at the same time, it is there's a certain time as far as the people were praying outside. They were also praying at the time the incense was going up. So they knew the connection between that. It says, "And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense." It's interesting. If you put in your notes, we're not going to turn there, but Psalm 141 in verse 2. It says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." So there's a specific time here. And that timing is the time of the evening, the morning sacrifice. It's the time of the incense being offered. And it was tied up to, even in the time of David, it was tied up to prayer. It was understood to be tied to the subject of prayer. Okay, let's turn back, therefore, to number 16 and have a look at the censers that were being used. Now, this is the story of Korah. And it's the one where, I suppose, the most censers were used, the story with most censers that you can find in Scripture. It actually mentions that there's 250 censers altogether being used at this time. That's 250, that's in verse 17. But let's pick it up in verse 5. He said, and he spoke to Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Eternal will show you who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him, even to him who he had chosen will he cause to come near unto him. And this do, take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Eternal tomorrow. So it wasn't just a case of, you know, these were Levites. They weren't Aaronic priests, they were Levites. But were the censers used to carry coals? And if they were used to carry coals, because the fire, obviously, they didn't have a box of matches. You can't go around with a box of matches. So you had to go ahead and actually get a coal, and then you transfer, and, you know, you try carrying a coal. You have to have something to carry it in. And then get the coal from the wood being burned on the altar of sacrifice outside the holy place. And having carried that in the censer, they would also put some incense on to make just to perfume the area as you carried that coal in to the holy place and the altar of incense. But that would be what the priest would do. But Korah was saying, well, he should be able to do it because he is also a Levite. But he wasn't of the tribe of Aaron. So he said, this do, take your censers, Korah, verse 6, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Eternal tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Eternal does choose shall be holy, for you take too much upon yourself, you sons of Levi. And we find in verse 17, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring you before the Eternal, every man his censer, 250 censers, and you also, and Aaron each of you his censer. So Aaron also had censers. So as a means of offering incense, the censer was something that was being used in the temple sacrifices. Perhaps it's not specified. You can look through it and you'll not find a specification there as to when it must be specifically used, except for one, and that was the Day of Atonement, when the priest went into the Holy of Holies. He had to have a special golden censer that he used with incense on, and he put a cloud before the mercy seat as he actually entered the Holy of Holies. That's the only time that anything specific is mentioned. So if you're coming right before God, you come before God in prayer, basically, is an analogy. But the use of the censer is almost like prayers being offered to God at any time of the day, at all the different times of the day. It wasn't at a time of incense, because it was being used continually, as far as we can gather. But it says here, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring you before the Eternal, every man his censer, and 250 censers, you also and Aaron, each of his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. So there we see the use of the censer, and as I say, there's no time element tied to that particular use. But if you turn back to Exodus 30, here we find another instance of not a censer being used, but of a source of incense. And this is the altar of incense, which, as I said, was located just before the curtains that you then go into the Holy of Holies through. And it says in verse 1 of Exodus 30, and you shall make an altar to burn incense upon. Acacia wood shall you make it, a cubit thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. So it's like if you imagine two cubes, one stacked on top of another, and that is a certain height of a cubit being the length of the forearm. So this altar of incense, a suitable height, was placed just before the actual mercy seat, but they had a veil that actually came down in front of the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And it says, four square shall it be, and two cubits shall it be height thereof, and you shall overlay it with pure gold, and the top thereof, and the sides, and the horns, and you shall make a crown of gold around about. So it's quite an elaborate construction. And it says in verse 6, and it says, and you shall put it before the veil that is by the Ark of the Testimony, before the mercy seat. So that is right in front of the veil, On the right-hand side, as you face the veil, I believe it was the right, was the showbread, the table of showbread. And on the left-hand side, as you face the veil, was the menorah, was the actual light, the candelabra. So you shall put it before the veil that is by the Ark of the Testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. So again, the symbol of prayer and the need for this table of incense, or altar of incense, is very profound. And notice here, this one is actually tied to time. And it gives us specific times in which the incense was to be offered. And Aaron shall burn thereon a sweet incense every morning when he dresses the lamps, shall he burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it. It's a perpetual incense before the Eternal throughout your generations. So there are two specific times. And the two times actually tie up with the morning and evening sacrifices. The morning and evening sacrifices, in the morning, it's when you offer the sacrifice, but it's also when you'd light lights, or when you put the lights out, when you dress the wick and have it prepared for the night time. But it's interesting that when you read this, it ties it to the lights. It doesn't tie it to the sacrifice. It ties it to the lights. And again, what are we doing when we're praying? Well, we come before God on a regular basis. And on that regular basis, we offer our prayers. And it rejuvenates the very light that is within us, which is coming from the Holy Spirit. We get the oil of the light that is needed, that we need to be exhibiting, comes at that time of prayer. So these two particular instances, these two types of incense, or sources of incense, are very meaningful. In one case, it's a regular thing, that we get on our knees regularly every day to offer prayers to God, and that is as it should be. But there's also another source as well of an incense, and that is that throughout the day it is used and it's not regulated. It's clearly the senses were used. It's clear the senses were used for offering incense, but there's no regulation there as to what, when, and how. But it was used throughout the day. Perhaps when people came and had a sacrifice, they would also offer incense as well as a matter of course. So it was happening throughout the day. And isn't that also like us? So that we have a regular time for prayer. And also, as Mr. Armstrong said when he was asked, you know, how many times do you pray? You know, once, twice, three times. He said, no, hundreds of times. And we too should recognize that the altar of incense certainly is a regular type of prayer, morning and evening. And in Daniel's case, it was the afternoon as well. But something which is regular, but also throughout the day, it's offered in the senses. And that type is prayers that we offer throughout the day as we go around our daily tasks. And so we do indeed pray without ceasing.